Please turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 as we continue going through, teaching, preaching through 1 and 2 Thessalonians on Sunday morning. We're to chapter 3 beginning in verse 1 and we're looking at the love that the Apostle Paul and the apostles with him, his fellow workers, the love that they had for the church and how the church loved one another and that they were examples on how to love one another as a church. And it's my hope and prayer that you and I will get a sense again on what it means to be a part of a church, to love the church, to support the church, to be a member of the blood-bought New Testament church, the called out ones, called out from the world, to be strangers and pilgrims, the elect, the chosen of God, to be witnesses in this world in which we live, and to be witnesses not only by doctrine, but how we live, and how we ought to live godly and holy in this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's begin reading. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone. Here we see this again, this love the Apostle Paul had, and that he loved them so much that he sent Timothy and others to minister there in Thessalonica. And this word, to be left alone, is another picture of a family. Last week we got a picture of a loving mother keeping her children warm and a loving father. This morning this is a picture of a child being left alone and how it hurts and scary it is for a child when they're not around their parents. As a small child, a real small child will cry out to be with their guardian, their parents or grandparents. And here he says, I'm being left alone for you. And verse 2, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Here, what a great resume that Timothy has from the Apostle Paul here in this verse 2. And how Timothy was a fellow servant of the Apostle Paul. Now listen, it says to establish you. Now this is an important word in chapter 3. Again, the Apostle Paul had to leave Thessalonica under extreme persecution. The church was still under extreme persecution. He was concerned for them. He loved them. And he did not only want to share the gospel with them that saved souls. The Apostle Paul wanted to establish them in the faith. This word establish is, or a form of it is throughout chapter 3. And if you would just look here, it says establish you and encourage you concerning your faith here in verse 2. Look in verse 3. It says that no one should be shaken by the afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed to this. So don't be shaken, be established. Look in verse 8. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Again, another form of being established or standing firm in the faith. Look in verse 13 of the same chapter. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So not only did he share the gospel message, but he wanted them to become disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, to establish them, not just share the faith, but to encourage them to remain in the faith. Sometimes We as Southern Baptists, we want to share the gospel. And we have all kinds of training things and seminars on how to share our faith. I mean, if you want to know how to share your faith, we can order DVDs and studies, and you can share Jesus without fear, and you can use this track or that track and share your faith. And yet we as Southern Baptists forget that that's not only what we do, but we need to establish them in the faith. A lot of times we will witness to our families and to our friends and share Jesus, how Jesus can save their souls from hell, and then we live like hell in front of them, and we make them twofold child of hell as they already were. And because we are not established ourselves in the faith first. We want to tell them about godliness, but we don't live godliness. We want to tell them about salvation, but we're not established ourselves in the faith. So if we're not established first, how can we ensure that others are established and to have the love for the church and the love for them to be concerned enough to make sure that they're in the faith? Not just share salvation, but to live it, salvation, to trust and obey salvation. Amen? We're big on justification. Justified, set right in the eyes of a holy God, but we don't even want to mention sanctification, the things that the world and it's in your heart and life, the things of the world that you give up to live godly, the things that are luring you, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life is not of the Father. And those things we need to give up daily and be sanctified to live godly and holy. But you know what? Most people in the church, we want both lives. And you're not established yourself. So when you're a witness and you try to lead others to Christ, and you're not established yourself, and you don't love them enough to encourage them to be established because you're not established yourself, what are we doing? We're messing people up for life. Because so worldly, and loving the world so much, and the things of the world, we want to look over when it says to abstain from all appearance of evil. We want to look away when it says to abstain from idolatry and things of the world. See, the Apostle Paul loved them, and he wanted to make sure that they were established in the faith more than just sharing the gospel. See, these people were under persecution. And he wanted to make sure that they would not fall away from the faith. So we read on here in this letter how the apostle was concerned for their faith. And he says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed for this. For in fact, I'm in verse 4, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. Did you know all those who live godly will suffer persecution? Did you know that? You will, if you live godly. And it said, he said, it's happened to me, it's happening to you. Verse 5, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. See, he was very concerned for their faith. He did not want them to fall away. He did not want the tempter to tempt them in such a way that their labor would be in vain. Did you know there's a tempter? Everyone go like this. He tempts us in many, many ways. He will hinder you in many, many ways from serving the Lord. He will tempt you. He will hinder you. And the only way, listen, that we can combat the tempter, to withstand the tempter, again, having the full armor of God, which speaks of being in Christ and the things of faith. And in other words, you got to be established in the faith. It has to make a difference in your life to be established in the faith. You can't have the world and Jesus. If you think that salvation is just fire insurance or some decision you made once upon a time and that's it, and the tempter's already tempted you. And the least little thing, listen to me, if you're not established in the faith, that tempter can use anything to keep you from serving the Lord, to love the church, to love the brothers and sisters, and to serve Him in and through the church. So-and-so didn't speak to me, or they didn't do it my way today, and I'm mad and I'm upset. Why? Because you're established in some sort of religion instead of relationship with Jesus. You got to be established in the faith, because there is a tempter and he's out to tempt you. He's out to tempt me. And when we are witnesses and we love people enough to witness to them, we certainly do not want to be a hindrance to them also. Because we don't want our labor to be in vain. Now, they were very concerned, again, for their faith. He wanted them to be established in the faith. Now, listen. The church in Thessalonica was a very good church. In chapter 1, he describes their faith, their love, their good works, that they were followers of Jesus Christ. He describes them in chapter 1. Even here in chapter 3, we see in verse 6, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you." So they have a good report of this church. Timothy brings back a great report of them. The Apostle Paul has heard about them in other churches. But listen, they were a good church, but they were not a perfect church. They were not a perfect church. Is there a perfect church? No, it's not. Why? Because churches are made up of human beings. Right? There are no perfect churches. This was a good church, but listen what the Apostle Paul is telling them. Look in verse 10. "Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith." So they were lacking in the faith. Matter of fact, we're going to read on in this chapter that he wants them to grow more in love and in faith. So they were a good church. He admired them. He encouraged them, but they were not perfect. You see, when you and I become satisfied, when you and I become satisfied where we're at, in our faith, we are no longer growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you and I become satisfied, we are no longer vibrant, alive witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is encouraging them to grow in their faith, to grow in holiness and sanctification. Verse 7, as we see that the Apostle Paul is so encouraged by Timothy even. He says, therefore, brethren, all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord, to be established in the faith. For what thanks can we render? For what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So the Apostle Paul was encouraged by young Timothy. Timothy was a much younger minister than the Apostle Paul. Timothy was a son in the faith to the Apostle Paul. Now, young people, youth, teenagers, young adults, did you know when you are serving the Lord, when you're in church and you're singing and praising the Lord and in Bible studying and you're being a witness at the school, did you know you are encouraging the rest of us? Did you know that even the little children that come up here and say little childlike things concerning the things of faith, it encourages me. They're so innocent. And they actually believe what God says. That encourages me to see people that actually believe what God has to say. It encourages us. So young people, serve the Lord. Be established in the faith. Timothy was a young minister. And he encouraged others. The Apostle Paul thought so much of Timothy, this young minister, that he sent Timothy to this beloved church that he loved dearly with his heart. So keep serving the Lord. Don't let no one say that you're too young to serve the Lord. You're not. You serve the Lord. You establish yourself in the faith. You read the Bible. You grow in the Lord. You pray to the Lord Jesus. You serve the Lord. And it encourages the church to see young people serving the Lord, to stay true to Jesus. Here we see, as we read on in this chapter, how he was concerned for their faith, and Timothy brought back encouraging news of the church, and we see another picture of the apostles' prayer life for the church. We read, now may our God and Father, verse 11, and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. They were a good church, but they were not at perfection yet. We will be perfected when we see Him face to face. There's always room to grow in the faith, to grow in your relationship. First of all, be established in the faith and grow from there. In love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Verse 13. So that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. To be established and blameless in holiness. Can we do that by ourselves? Absolutely not. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God's help to live holy and godly in this world. And you and I, yes, we're saved, we're justified, but there should be a desire in our hearts to grow in holiness and be sanctified. In other words, to be more like Christ daily. Do you have a desire in your heart to be like Jesus more and more every day? That's progressive sanctification. See, there's a lot more to it than just making decisions. It's being a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, he prayed for the church. A prayer for the church. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray for your church? Do you pray for your church? Now listen, look around you. Everyone, look around. You can look up, look around. Everybody around you. We're the church. We are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. The early church met and prayed and worshiped, and coming together is special. It's a special time. And all through this letter, the Apostle Paul yearned to be with them in public worship, to be with them. He loved them. Do you love your church enough to pray for the church? Do you love your church enough to support the church? By the way, God says in His Word that Christ loves the church and gave Himself for her. He didn't say that about any other organization or group or government. He said that about His loving church, didn't He? And that word church is called out believers. And if you study the word church, it means when they come together, they are a body of Christ in public worship. They're still the church when they leave. And Christ loves the church. Nothing else has He said that about. And do you love the church that way? By the way, if you're a born-again believer, that same God that loves the church is in you. And you ought to love the church that way too. Are you saved? Let's get down to brass tacks. Are you established in the faith or not? I want to be talking to saved people about loving the church. Okay? Lost people, they love everything. The church may be one of the things that they love. They can love many things. But a born-again believer loves the church. Because Christ is in them. Big difference. And the Apostle Paul loved the church enough to serve and to pray and to love them, that he prayed for them to be established in the faith. He didn't pray selfish. He prayed for others. He didn't pray to live his life upon his selfish gains and worldly stuff and all the selfishness that the false gospel has today. He prayed for the church. For the church. And in this prayer and desire of loving the church and wanting to see them established in the faith, let's read on a little bit more in chapter 4. We see a plea for purity. Finally then, now by the way, when a preacher says finally then, you still got 2 or 3 more chapters. Okay? Finally then, brethren, he's talking to brothers and sisters. We urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. You ought to walk and to please God. Today there's a false gospel that it's all about me. Let's see what the church can do to please me. But here we say we ought to walk and please God. To please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Everyone want to know what the will of God is? The Bible tells us in many, many different passages of Scripture what the will of God is. Most of the will of God for your life is written in this book. This is the will of God. Your sanctification. You growing to be more like Christ daily. The want to know Him more and more. To abound more and more, it says in verse 1 here. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That is all sexual sins. The pastor of First Baptist Dallas now is on the list of haters. He is called a hater by the secular media. You see, Tim Tebow is going to go speak there in April. And the secular media started saying, why is Tim Tebow going to a church that hates homosexuals? They hate people who get abortions. They named a number of things. I assure you, the pastor of First Baptist Dallas, Texas, does not hate anybody, but he preaches God's word. Amen. You see, we hate sin, don't we? We hate sin in our own lives. We hate sin, period. So, haters. But this sexual immorality is all sexual sin. It's lusting. It's living with each other without marriage. Oh, that's all in the church, ain't it? Old people and young. God says it is sexual immorality. It's wrong. All homosexuality, we can just name it all. To abstain from it. Adultery. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, to have self-control. The Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Holy Spirit, is self-control. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother or sister in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Sanctification and holiness, godliness. Be more like Christ, to abound more and more to be like Jesus, and to abstain from worldliness. Folks, let's stop justifying sin. Stop justifying sin. Be godly. Be more like Jesus. Unless we're established in the faith, we can't establish others and help others. You can find others who can justify it. You can find a lot of others that will tell you all about salvation without being a disciple. There's whole heresies and cults, I call them. You can live how you want to as long as you do repentance on Saturday night. You can find all you want to, but the Word of God says it's sin. And that your heart's desire, if you're born again, should be more like Jesus and love His church. Again, the human response to the gospel message is to repent and obey, to receive it, to live it. Is it easy? No. We have a tempter, don't we? We got someone who wants to hinder us. It's not easy. That's why we need God's help. But I promise you this. If you will trust Jesus and live for Him, if you will trust Him and live for Him, you'll have a friend. You'll have someone that is with you no matter what. And I promise you this. If you trust Him and not this world, He will be the loving Savior that all this book is all about. He's that type of loving, merciful God. And I love you. Everyone in here loves you. We are to love one another, but we hate sin in our own lives and in this world. We need to be different. We're fixing to have an invitation, and if you would like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and be a follower of Him, we're going to invite you to come forward, and all we'll do is hug your neck and love on you, encourage you, and you can follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You can enter in the covenant with this church. Will you do that? Child of God, you need to stop that other stuff. You are to grow in holiness and be sanctified before the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious word. Lord, I stand before these people as one that has experienced and continue to experience Your mercy and grace. So, Lord, I humbly, Lord, ask that You'll continue to move in this time of worship. And, Lord, that You will touch hearts. May Your Holy Spirit take this word that was read and expounded on. And may Your Holy Spirit, Lord, touch hearts and speak to people. Lord, as we see Your day coming, help us to draw closer to You and abound more in You for Your glory. Amen.